News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Reacting to the government's latest invite for talks, protesting farmer unions on Wednesday said they would accept if the government sends a concrete proposal legalizing MSP. Reading out a letter by Samyukt Kisan Morcha, a joint front of the farmer unions, Swaraj India leader Yogendra Yadav asked the government to not repeat meaningless amendments to the new agri laws that they have already rejected, but come up with a concrete proposal in writing for another round of talks. There is an attempt to break the Andolan by holding talks with organizations that have nothing to do with the protests. We have received no concrete proposal. Written proposal is a reiterating of verbal proposal on December 5 that we have already rejected. We stick to our demand of complete repeal. There is no assurance, nothing concrete on MSP. That is no legal guarantee offered. If the government sends a draft legalizing MSP, we will accept, Yadav quoted from the letter. Addressing the press conference, All India Kisan Sabha leader Hanan Mulla claimed the government wanted to tire the farmers out so that the protest would end. Earlier on Wednesday, Union Agriculture Minister Narendra Singh Tomar said the government will continue with reforms in the farm sector as they are still due in many areas, even as he expressed hope that protesting farmers will soon come forward to resume dialogue with the centre. The minister said any agitation can be resolved only through dialogue, as has been the case always in history, and urged the protesting unions to fix a date and time for the next round. I am fully hopeful that our farmer unions will discuss. If they give a date and time, the government is ready for the next round of talks. I am hopeful that we will move towards resolving the issue, Tomar told reporters. At least five rounds of formal talks with the protesting unions have failed to break the deadlock. But a number of other farmer groups have been meeting the government in the meantime to extend their support to the new laws. While the government has presented the three laws as major reforms, protesting farmers fear they would weaken the mandi and MSP systems and leave them at the mercy of big corporates. However, the government has maintained these apprehensions are misplaced and has accused opposition parties of misleading the farmers. The People's Alliance for Gupkar Declaration, or PAGD, a conglomerate of regional and national parties, has won the maiden district development council elections in Jammu and Kashmir, the first election held after the abrogation of the region's special status and its conversion into a union territory. The bloc, which includes National Conference, People's Democratic Party, People's Conference, People's Movement, CPIM, Awami National Conference and Congress, won 110 seats. The Bharatiya Janata Party, however, emerged as the single largest party with 75 seats. The PAGD's influence has remained mostly in the Kashmir region, as over 76% of its winning seats were from the valley, while 24% of the seats were from the Jammu region, where the conglomerate had not reached a consensus on seat sharing. Its main opponents were the BJP and the newly formed Apni Party, which is headed by former PDP minister Altaf Bukhari, who advocates moving on from the Article 370 demand. The BJP retained its ground in the Jammu region and also opened its account in Kashmir by winning three seats, one in South Kashmir's Kakapura, one in Srinagar's Khanmo, and the third in the Tulail area of Gurez Valley, North Kashmir's Bandipora district. The BJP tried hard to win some seats in the Kashmir region and deputed its star campaigners like former Civil Aviation Minister Shah Nawaz Hussain, who was camping in the valley for nearly a month. The number of seats won by the BJP in the valley might not be big, but making inroads is significant in many ways. There were 2,200 candidates in the fray, among which PAGD members NC had fielded 169, PDP 68, Apni Party 166, Congress 157, People's Conference and People's Movement 11 each, CPIM 8, LJP 6, and the Panthers Party 54. The BJP had fielded 235 candidates across J&K. There were 1,238 independent candidates fighting the elections. The total number of seats on which polls were held were 280, 14 in each of the 20 districts of J&K, 10 in Kashmir and the same number in Jammu. Cairn Energy said on Wednesday it had won an international arbitration case against the Indian government over a tax dispute that had caused concern among investors, over retrospective tax claims on companies. The tribunal ruled unanimously that India had breached its obligations to Cairn under the UK-India Bilateral Investment Treaty and awarded Cairn damages of $1.2 billion plus interest and costs, the company said in its statement. The amount is nearly equal to London listed Cairn's market value of $1.3 billion as of Tuesday's close. For India, this is the second setback after losing another international arbitration case in September against Vodafone over a $2 billion retrospective tax dispute. The government said it will consider all options, including legal remedies. Cairn took the case to arbitration in 2015 to fight against a demand in 2014 from Indian authorities for $1.4 billion in taxes it said were owed on capital gains related to the 2007 listing of its local unit. In 2011, Cairn Energy sold its majority stake in Cairn India to Vedanta Limited, reducing its stake in the Indian company to about 10%. The Indian government seized the remaining shares in 2014 after the tax complaint was made, as well as dividends Vedanta owed to Cairn Energy for its holdings in the Indian firm. In 2018, Cairn Energy said it would write down the value of its investment in Vedanta after Indian tax authorities sold $216 million worth of its shares in the Indian mining company. Former India skipper Sunil Gavaskar has hinted at a divide within the Indian team, saying that treatment meted out to bowlers like R. Ashwin and T. Natarajan is biased as there are different rules for different players. The former India opener said that Ashwin has suffered within the Indian team because of his forthrightness. He also took a dig at the India skipper Virat Kohli, who got permission to leave the tour of Australia to attend the birth of his child, while T. Natarajan, who became a father during the IPL playoffs, is yet to see his daughter. For far too long, Ashwin has suffered not for his bowling ability, of which only the churlish will have doubts, but for his forthrightness and speaking his mind at meetings where most others just nod, even if they don't agree, Gavaskar wrote in his column for Sports Star. Any other country would welcome a bowler who has more than 350 test wickets, and not to forget four test match centuries too. However, if Ashwin doesn't take heaps of wickets in one game, he's invariably sidelined for the next one. That does not happen to established batsmen though. Even if they fail in one game, they get another chance and another and another. But for Ashwin, the rules seem to be different, he added. Gavaskar added that Natarajan has been forced to stay back only as a net bowler, even though the limited overs series of which he was a part ended almost a fortnight back. Another player who will wonder about the rules, but of course can't make any noise about it, as he is a newcomer. It is T. Natarajan, the left-arm Yorker specialist who made an impressive debut in the T20 and had Hardik Pandya gallantly offering to share the Man of the T20 series prize with him, had become a father for the first time even as the IPL playoffs were going on. He was taken to Australia directly from the UAE, and then, looking at his brilliant performances, he was asked to stay on for the test series, but not as a part of the team, but as a net bowler. Imagine that, wrote Gavaskar. A match winner, albeit in another format, being asked to be a net bowler. He will thus return home only after the series ends in the third week of January and get to see his daughter for the first time then. And there is the captain going back after the first test for the birth of his first child. That's Indian cricket. Different rules for different people. If you don't believe me, ask Ravi Ashwin and T. Natarajan, he further wrote. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.